Amen. All right. Praise God. As we've been going through 1 Samuel over the last several months here, looking through this, you know, last week, David killed Goliath, the great victory in chapter 18. Then David becomes Saul's armor bearer, because it was kind of odd that David went out to battle for Saul, but Saul didn't really, for some reason, he didn't know who David was. He says, "Where are you from? Who are you?" I don't think it was so much that he didn't know who David was. It was kind of like, wow, I know you as the shepherd boy. I know you as the harpist. I know you as the songwriter, but really, who are you? I mean, you're this young, strappy little boy. They came up, and all of a sudden, you're the giant slayer. And then as the battle was over with the Philistines for that particular time, and David and Saul were coming back into town, the people were singing songs, making up songs. "Saul has killed his thousands, but David hath killed his 10,000s. And in that, jealousy starts to rage up in Saul's heart. And he says, "I got to get rid of this little kid. You know, he's taking my glory away." Well, I got tell you, church, you got to be careful about where your glory is stored up. If you're worried about somebody else taking your glory, you got it parked in the wrong garage. Amen. Your glory ought to be held in Jesus Christ, regardless of who gets the praise and who doesn't get the praise. In fact, it says, if you really want to be exalted, become humble. And when you become humble, God will lift you up in due time. And that's what we'll see in David's life. From this point forward, David is promised a wife from Saul, because he killed Goliath, David did, and that was one of the things that Saul promised, that he would give Merab to be the bride of whoever took Goliath down. Well, Merab, before they got married, Merab was given to another man called Adriel. He was a Methanelite. I have a hard time with those folks' name. And then chapter 18 and verse 20, and so, or chapter 18 and verses 19 and following, talks about, or 17 and following, that she was promised to David, but she was given to another man. And then in verse 20 of chapter 18, let me go to there, because I think that's about where we left off last week, chapter 20. Well, back up one verse. "But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given unto David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Methanethelite, to be wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, 'I will give her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.' Wherefore Saul said to David, 'Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, in the one of the twain.'" In other words, it's kind of odd. I'm in chapter 18, verse 20, and I'll be moving over to chapter 19. He said, "Where am I?" And so I'm in chapter 18, verse 20. And this is after David's great victory, and after he comes into and everybody's worshiping. Saul has already tried to kill him one time by chunking a spear at him, a javelin, but he missed. David was light on his feet. "Can't hit me with a stick." Well, he was moving out of the way. And so, but you see this thing that's raging up in Saul. Remember, not long ago, Saul had lost the kingdom because he had ignored the word of the Lord. He had went away from God. He had a relationship with God at one time. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit at one time. But as he turned away from the Lord, God removed his spirit from him, removed the anointing from him, and Saul was losing everything. And it says that the spirit of the Lord was lifted off of him, and Saul didn't even know it was gone. Man, I tell you, that's a frightening thing, you know, that you could lose the spirit of the Lord and not even know that you had lost it. I think a lot of folks in the modern church today, and we talked about this last week, that has happened in America mostly, that we have stopped doing the things that God has called us to. We really ain't making disciples like we used to, you know, and we're not really walking with God. And as we don't walk with God, we miss the blessings and the fullness of the Lord. And so Saul, those things were going through Saul. And as the light left, the darkness starts coming in, and God sent an evil spirit. And that's how David got into Saul's house. Saul would get depressed, and he said, man, I need somebody who could play the jew's harp well. Amen. I need somebody who could come and sing these songs. And he somebody remembered David, and he came into the house, and that's how the story begins. And so now David is becoming a mighty warrior, and people are starting to notice him, and Saul's jealousy starts raging. And I don't know exactly, I read through Michelle and her life story here, as far as I know in the Word of God. I don't know why Saul said, I'm going to give her to David that she might be a snare or a stumbling block to him. I don't know why that is. I don't know. Might say something about the character of the girl. I can't really say. But Saul says, I'm going to give you my daughter. She's going to be a snare to you. That's kind of a hard thing for a dad to say about his daughter, you know. I couldn't say that about my... I tell you, George can't wait till you can marry this girl. She's going to be a snare around you. Talk about a chain around your neck. This one here is going to be one. And so anyhow, as you see these two, but she loved David. And so it says in verse 21, and Saul said that I will give her, Michelle, my daughter to you, that she would be a snare to you, and that the hand of the Philistines might be against him, David. Wherefore, Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded a servant, saying, commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and that his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ear of David. And David said, seeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? So you see what Saul's doing here? He goes to his servants. He says, hey, you go and talk to David. All right. You tell David in his ear that, hey, you're going to be the son-in-law of the king. And David says, wait a second, that sounds good to you, but look at who I really am. I'm the son of Jesse. I'm just a sheep herder, okay? I'm not a man of great esteem. I don't know if I'd look good in silk robes, you know? I am who I am. I have calluses on my hands. I'm a herdsman. I'm not supposed to be in a king's household. In David's own mind, he was seeing himself for who he truly was, not for what Saul wanted him to be. See, Saul was wanting to trick David to make him more comfortable with who he was supposed to be, who he was supposed to be. And so the Lord was working in David's heart, keeping him humble, not letting him be lifted up. Most men, right, if somebody told you, hey, you're going to marry into a wealthy family, you would be saying, yeah, cha-ching, I'm riding a horse to the bank, man. I just made it. I have made it. I'm a millionaire. I'm good to go. I don't have to worry about nothing. I can live the rest of my life at ease because I'm the king's son-in-law, right? And that's what Saul was expecting David to do. But David said, nope. Tell you what, it's not a light thing to be the son-in-law of a king, knowing that who I am and where I've come from. And so there's the heart, and Saul's servant said that unto David, and David made that told it back to the servants of the king. And in verse 26, and the servants told David these words, and it pleased David to be the king's son-in-law in the days that were not expired. Wherefore David arose, and he went, and his men, and he slew the Philistines, 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them full tale of the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave Michelle, his daughter, to the wife. I skipped a little bit of the story here. I skipped it so I could get to the scripture and not have to spend a whole lot of time reading you every single word. Saul said, to be my son-in-law, I'll give you my wife, but you got to go get so many foreskins of the enemy. You got to go kill them and take their foreskin and bring it back to me on a stick so I'll know who you are, if you're really for me or not. That's a weird betrothal gift, isn't it? Go out and kill 200 men and bring me proof. Well, and so anyhow, David did that, and he just lets you know that God was with David. He was a warrior. And Saul saw that in verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michelle, Saul's daughter, loved him. And so Saul yet was more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. So the more that David was lifted up, the more that Saul saw the abilities of David, Saul saw that God was with David, Saul saw that Michelle, That's hard to say. How many seashells can you sell on the seashore? Right? Saul observed all of these things, right? And as he was observing that his daughter really loved him, and he was observing that David was truly a great warrior, he was observing that the Lord was with David on every hand, Saul became afraid of David because of the might that David had, because of his obedience to the Lord. And then he became the enemy of Saul continually, or Saul became the enemy of David continually. In verse 30, when the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass that after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. So his name was much more set by. All right. So even in war, he was doing the more noble thing. And, you know, the more right that you do, the more the unbeliever doesn't see why you're doing right. The more it threatens them, the more righteous you become. What it does is it shows the unrighteousness of the folks around you. And then all of a sudden the people that are around you don't want to be around you anymore, because they'll say, well, you're holier than me. Now, you may not have even been thinking that, but that's what the world's seeing. That's what your enemy's seeing. Because your righteousness is shining into their unrighteousness, and the light of the Lord that's in you is making their eyes burn. So have you ever wondered why the unbeliever really doesn't like Christians? Now, all you're trying to do is love them and show them the righteousness of God. You're trying to live upright before them, and they hate you for it. It's because Jesus is in you, and you're showing the anointing of the Lord, and they're jealous of you, and they're afraid of the power that you have. And when anybody is afraid in their human, natural state, they hate you because of that. And so they build up these walls and say, I don't want to come near you because your light hurts my eyes. The light of the Lord that's in you hurts me. It threatens my standing as a human being. It threatens my own characteristics of who I am. Your righteousness is hurting my unrighteousness, so I don't want to be around you. That's why Jesus said that I come to bring peace? No, I come to bring a sword. I come to divide the light from the darkness. I came that you might have an abundant life, that you might, and not abundance in the way that the world gives it, but abundance in the way that I want to give it to you. And so as you grow in the Lord, you'll find that other people will hate you or disdain you more and more. In chapter 19 is an interesting chapter. We're going to see Jonathan, and Jonathan is the son of Saul, and Jonathan and David's friendship, really, they become closer than a brother. I mean, they become really tight here. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. They were buddies. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. Well, I tell you what, when a son goes against his daddy to save his friend, that's a close friendship. You know, his daddy says, hey, I want you, Jonathan, to go kill your buddy. All right. And you're saying, nope, dad, I like my buddy more than I like you. I can tell that the anointing of God's on him, the anointing of God's not on you. You're kind of nasty. He's kind of good. I'm going to go help him, and I'm not going to do what you say. Now, you can tell that the servants of Saul, as we get into this, the servants of Saul still want to kill David because they fear the king and not the Lord God Almighty. Jonathan had a deep friendship, a love for David that was sent by the Lord. It was a very holy and reverent thing. And in verse 3 of 19, and I will go out and stand by my father in the field where thou art, and I will continue with my father of thee, and what I see I will tell thee. So, all right, David has an inn in the king's house, so I'll know what's going on, or David will know what's going on. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul the father, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant and against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, because his works have been toward thee very good. And for he did put his life in his hand, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought great salvation unto all Israel. And you saw it, Dad. That's Jonathan speaking to his dad. And you did rejoice. Wherefore, then, wilt thou sin against innocent blood and slay David without cause? And Saul, he hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord liveth, he shall not slay him. And then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul in his presence, as in the times past. And there was a war again, and David went out, and he fought the Philistines, and he slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled before him. And then the evil spirit of the Lord was upon Saul, and he set him in his house, and there with a javelin in his hand, and David played the harp with his hand. Doesn't say the harp, but David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even into the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled, escaped that night. See how evil can come up on you? All of a sudden you say that, all right, me and you, we're tight, we're in good shape, right? And you're the Christian, you're being a friend, or you're coming into the house of the enemy, the one who wants to do you harm. Turns out that they were all buddy-buddy until God started showing favor again to David. And when David started getting more and more famous or more favorable, that this jealousy, this evil spirit came up in Saul's heart again. And he tries to kill David again. And he throws a javelin at him, and of course, slick David, he's fast on his feet. You know? He ducks, jumps out of the way, and he runs off into the wilderness again. And Saul sought to smite David in verse 10. Saul sought to smite David to the wall with the javelin, and Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. So since he wasn't able to kill him that night, he says, I tell you what, all you spies, y'all go check out where David's sleeping tonight. He'll be at my daughter's house. You know, they'll be sleeping and all that kind of stuff. In the morning, I want you to kill him. All right, so that's the plan that's hitched forth. But Michelle loved David, all right, and Michelle, David's wife, told him the saying, if thou save not thy life this tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. And so Michelle let David down through the window, and he went, and he fled, and he escaped. I tell you, nothing like a good wife. I tell you, a good wife will tell you what's happening. My wife has saved my skin more than one time. Sometimes she just says, escape out of the window. Amen. So get away, because, you know, I'm a boneheaded guy. You know, I do stupid things. If you don't know it, hang out with me for a little bit. Right, Cliff? You'll find out I'm doing stupid stuff from time to time. And you need a wool man in your life to stop some of that stuff. Right, Steve? Right, you understand? Yep, uh-huh. Need that wool man to let you down. There you go. Amen. And Michelle, she took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And she said, he is sick. And Saul sent messengers again to see David and bring him up in bed that I might slay him. Wow, Saul wanted him dead pretty bad. Hey, you sick? Don't even try to get him out of bed. Bring him and the bed to me together. I'll kill him. That's pretty rough. And so now it comes up in verse 16, and the messengers were come in, and there was the image in the bed with the pillows of the goat's hair. And Saul said to Michelle, his daughter, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michelle answered her dad, Saul. And he said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? And so even in that conversation there, think of David. You know, a good husband will say, listen, I don't want you to die because of me. And that's really what she's saying here. David knew the plan that was coming up, and he said, I don't want you to die because of me. If I'm here and the guards come in, they're going to kill you as well as me. I need to escape. She came up with a plan. I'll let you out the window. I'll build a little dummy. David the dummy, you dummy. Lay in the bed, and it'll look like you and give you some time to escape. And so the plan is hatched. David finds out about it. Verse 18, David flees, and he escapes. And he runs to Samuel's house. Well, I tell you what, if you don't know where to go, go to the preacher's house. Amen. When the times get hard, you don't know how to get away, the enemy's surrounding you, demons are coming at you, the world's falling apart at your feet, go to the pastor's house. You know, you can come to my house. It's right down the road here. If you ever need to go any place that's safe, come there. We'll pray together. Amen. We'll spend some time in prayer. We'll go through the Bible together, and we'll come up with an answer that the Lord would have you to do in your situation. Sometimes it might be go back and face the lions, you know, but sometimes it might be let's stay here for a little while and pray this thing through. So anyhow, David, he goes to Samuel's house in Ramoth and told him all that Saul had done, and that Samuel went and he dwelt at Naoth. And it came, and it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramoth. Anyhow, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw that the company of the prophets were prophesying, Samuel standing as anointed over them, and the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied." You're going to find that this happens three different times. As David is with Samuel and they're prophesying. David's with Samuel, they're reading their Bible, they're praying. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them. And so Saul sends the enemy in, spies time after time after time. Every time that the enemy tries to get around that group, they end up getting anointed with the Spirit of God and start to prophesy. They can't lay a hand on David because the anointing of God is on them. When the demons, when the bad times start coming around you and you don't know what to do, get around other believers, pray, fast, prophesy. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Look at your situation through God's eyes. And then all of a sudden, those things that are coming against you, they can't lay a hand on you. Because the power of God, the light of God is so illuminated around you that the demons can't do anything, that the enemy can't come in. You can't get killed. You can't get wiped away from God because you're in the presence of the Lord and you're doing what God says. And when the enemy does come up, they can't do anything but shine in the Lord, in the sight of God. And so three different times, this is one and two other times, it happens that these spies come up to catch David in what he's doing, and they can't lay hands on him. So in verse 23 of chapter 19, it says, another man comes up, and he went thither to Naoth in Ramoth, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him also. And he went on, and he prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramoth. And he stripped off his clothes, and he prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all day and all night, all that night. Wherefore, they said, is Saul also among the prophets? So the same anointing that happened to Saul, remember when Saul got anointed by the Lord and he started prophesying way back in the beginning of his ministry? These men, they would come into the presence trying to do damage to David, but every time they got close to him, they had to sing praises to the Lord. They had to prophesy because it just kept coming over. And this is one of the messengers coming back. And how do I know it was in three times? It happened in verse 21 of chapter 19. And when it was told to Saul that he sent messengers, and they prophesied likewise, and Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they prophesied also. So that's how I know it happened three times. Okay. So if you're, because I saw some of you were looking, and there's a question mark on your forehead. What do you mean three times? Well, there it is in chapter 20, verse 21. And so you see it happens over and over again. And so in chapter 20, David and Jonathan become really tight friends. And again, David fled from Naoth in Ramoth, whatever. And he came before Jonathan and asked, what have I done? And what is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeketh my life? And so David, I tell you what, I love this about guys. When we got a problem, we go right to the source. You know, if you got a problem with me, let's talk about it. Amen. Or if your dad has a problem with me, I'm going to get as close to your dad as I can that I can talk to you to see what the problem is. Get close to somebody that you, if there's anything that I've done to sin against you, this is what David is saying to Jonathan. Why does your dad want to kill me? Why does he hate me so bad? Why does my neighbor not like me? Amen. What have I done to these people? And so David is pouring his heart out to Jonathan to find out a way to solve the problem that's come up in and through the family. And Jonathan he said, I will go to him. That's what Jonathan talking to David. I will go to him. God forbid that thou shalt not die. And thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great nor small. but that he will show it to me, and why should my father hide this thing from me? And David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace, knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is there should be step between me and death. And Jonathan said to David, moreover, thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. So they come up with the scheme. This is how I'm going to find out. Jonathan says, I'll go along with it. Says a whole lot just to say that, right? I'm glad I didn't write the Bible. You'd miss a lot of neat points. And so I challenge you to go home and read these five chapters that we're going to go over. And so it talks about this friendship and stuff. And so they come in 20 and 5. Chapter 20, verse 5. And David said to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I shall not fail to sit with the king's meat, but let me go, that I might hide myself in the field unto the third day at even, in the evening. And if the father at all miss me, then say, David, earnestly, ask and leave that he might run to Bethlehem, to his father's city, and there early sacrifice for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he say, if he be verily wroth, in other words, he doesn't like the idea, then be sure that evil hath determined by him. So they're making up this plan. He's saying, listen, guy, I want you to go. There's a big festival. The new moon's coming up. You go to your dad's house and find out if there's anything against me. If there's anything against me, let me know and tell your dad that I have gone to Bethlehem to sacrifice with my dad, okay? Jesse, my father. So they come up with this plan together. And verse 8 and following, and therefore thou shalt be kindly to thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant to be into a covenant with the Lord, with thee, notwithstanding, if there be any in me iniquity, slay me there thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that there were evil determined by my father to come upon thee, then would I not tell thee? See, that closeness of Jonathan and David again. Jonathan said, listen, if I knew for sure that dad's going to get you, I'd tell you. Don't worry about it. I got your back, is really what he's saying here. And David said to Jonathan, who shall tell me if your father has it? And now they make up this idea that, David, you go stand by a rock, right? And I'm going to shoot some arrows up in the sky. And if they go to one side, it'll be good. And if it goes to another side, I could read the whole thing to you, but this is the gist of the story. All right. So Jonathan and David come up with this idea. All right. If Saul is going to still angry at you because you're not there at the feast, tell you what, Dave, on that day, I'm going to get my little lad, my little buddy, to come out with me, and I'm going to shoot some arrows. You go to the rock of Ezah. Ezah, I think that's Ezah. It must have been a normal gathering place, and they knew where they were going. So you go to this rock, and you wait for me there. And so on the third day at the evening time, at the time, if there's anything that my dad has against you, David, you'll know by then, because I'll shoot three arrows, and they'll be on this side or be on that side. And you'll know when I tell the lad who's going to go fetch my arrows. Think about that. Hey, listen, I'm going to go target practicing. I'm going to shoot some arrows, and George, you go fetch him for me. I tune in my bow every year. I don't have anybody to fetch my arrows. You know, I got to go fetch him myself. But anyhow, Jonathan's king's son, so he has somebody to fetch him. And so as Jonathan is at the table with his dad, Saul, he brings up David and the idea. Saul starts missing David because it's been 2 days into the feast and David hasn't eaten at the king's table yet. So Saul asked Jonathan, said, where is David? And Jonathan said, David is at his dad's house in Bethlehem. All right. That's where he's at. Saul blows a gasket.
Why isn't he here?
And he gets angry at his own son. And he says, Jonathan, I'm going to wring your neck, boy. Why have you conspired against me? Paraphrasing all of this. It's much more detailed in the book. Read it yourself. And so just for time's sake, we're going to skip over some things. I'm going to ad lib a little bit. So anyhow, so this plan is hatched. Jonathan knows that Saul still wants to kill David. So he goes out there and he shoots his arrows, thump, thump, thump. And so David knows by the rules that they had already set up, if the arrows go this side, you'll know that it's safe. If the arrows go that side, you'll know that it's not safe. And so the arrows went to that side, and he sent the lad out for him, and David knew that it wasn't safe, so David skedaddles. All right, that's the end of chapter 19. All right, and so coming into chapter 20, that's the end of chapter 20. Coming into chapter 21, David visits Amalek. And when David, then David came to Nod, to Amalek the priest, and Amalek was afraid at the meeting, afraid of the meeting with David. And he said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" Now remember Amalek. When David killed Goliath, what did David do with the saw, with the spear and the sword and all the armament of David? He gave it to. Go ahead, it's right there. Amalek. Yeah, he gave it to Amalek, the priest of the area, and said, "Keep this." Right? Keep it right here. David was a young man at that time. He couldn't handle those weapons properly. So he put them in safekeeping. It's interesting because David didn't know that Saul was going to hate him when the sword and the spear and all was kept there. He didn't know any of those things were going to happen. So David now is running from Saul, all right, and he comes to Amalek, the priest of Nod. And David says to him, or Amalek says to him, "Why are you alone?" David has to make up a story. And David said to Amalek, the priest, "The king hath commanded me in business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servant so much, such and such place. Now, therefore, what is in thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand. Or what is there present?" And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but is the hallowed bread. If a young man have kept himself at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, woman hath been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner of common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in this vessel." And the priest gave him the hollowed bread. All right, now in the tabernacle, right? You understand what he's talking about. There's the showbread, and every day they would bake new showbread. But the showbread was for the priest; it wasn't for the common man, and common men weren't allowed to eat this. All right, David was hungry. He comes there and he says, "Listen, guy, I'm hungry. I'm on the king's business. I need to eat something. What do you got?" He says, "Well, I got the hallowed bread, but I can't give it to you unless you're clean." And David said, "Hey, I ain't been with no woman for 3 days. I'm pretty clean. Clean enough." Now, David just lied to the priest because he wasn't on a secret business. He was running for his life. So the priest gives him the bread, all right? He eats and he becomes satisfied. And but there was a man, a spy that was there. He was just a certain man of the servants of Saul in verse 7. And he was there that day. And he, that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, D-O-G-E, D-O-E-G. Doegy? He is an Edomite. The chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. So is the head shepherd of Saul's herds. And David said to Amalek, "Is there not here in thine hand a spear or a sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, here it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it." Okay? For there is no other save that, there's nothing else here. And so David said, there is none like it, give it to me. Now remember, Goliath's sword was quite the sword, remember? It is indeed a warrior's weapon, right? And so he left it there. A long time ago, whenever he killed Goliath, before he ever got married, before this hardship ever came up, and God was providing for David long before David knew he needed provision. And so all that stuff was there for him that day. And then David escaped to Gath, so now he's still on the run. And David arose and he fled for the fear of Saul, and he went to Aish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Aish said unto him, is this not David, king of the land? It's funny that they knew David was king, although Saul was still sitting on the throne, all right? Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another and him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain thousands, and David had slain tens of thousands? Oh, how the word spread back then. They didn't have Facebook or nothing. Everybody knew what was going on, you know? And David laid up these words in his heart. And he was really afraid. He was sore afraid and angry at Aish, the king of God. And he changed his behavior before them and frightened himself mad in their hands. And he scrabbled on the floor of the gate. And spittle fell down on his beard. I'm a crazy man. Don't want to mess with me, man. Look at it. I'm crazy. And so he starts falling on the floor, right? And he's acting like a crazy man. And the king says, this guy's nuts. What? Don't bring him into my house. Look, he's drooling on himself. He's a crazy man. Which gave David a chance to escape from the hands of the king of God. And so he escaped from them from that time. And now down to verse 8. And all that conspired against me, there is none that sheweth me that the son hath made language with the son of Jesse. And there is none that is sorry for me, or sheweth me that my son hath stirred up my heart against me, lie in wait as this day. And then answered Dog, the Ethmalite. How would you do? Doogie? Doog? Dog? Doog? Anyhow, yo, dog, what's up? And the Ethmalite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse. He came to Nod to Amalek, the son of Ethudatub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and he gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. And the king called the priest before him, the son of that guy, all of his father's house, and the priests that were in Nod. And they came to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Athetub. Sorry about those words. Forgive me, Lord, because I can't twist my tongue that way. And he answered, here I am, my Lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou the son of Jesse, thou and the son of Jesse? And thou hast given him bread and a sword, hath inquired of the Lord for him, that he should rise up against me and lie in wait as it is this day. And Amalek answered and said to the king, And who is faithful among the servants is David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth and doeth thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house. So Amalek stands up for David and says, listen, there ain't nobody like David in your house. He stood up for you. He's your son-in-law. Come on. Why do you call him your enemy? And verse 15, Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor all of his house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of this, less or more. So Amalek said what he knew about David, that he was a faithful man to Saul, and that he had no reason to doubt what David was saying. I mean, it sounded like a kingly thing that David was doing. And then the king said, thou shalt surely die, Amalek, thou and all thy father's house. And then the king did that. He murdered all the priests. Saul killed all the priests because they were doing the right thing. And in verse 20, and one of the sons of Amalek, the son of Abed, escaped, and he fled after David. So only one of them escaped, and he went to David's side. And Abathar showed David what Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day when Dogi, the Edomite, was there. And he would surely tell Saul, I caused the death of all the people of thy father's house. Abide thou with me and fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me shalt be. In other words, hang out with me, guy. All those big, hard-to-pronounce words, it really means, all right, Saul's out to kill me, he's out to kill you. Hang out with me, I'll protect you. All right, that's what he's saying. And so he said it real simple, real plain, where he could understand it. And then David heads on in chapter 23, and they told David the saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. And David acquired of the Lord. Every time that you see David about ready to go into battle, the first thing he does is he goes to prayer. Anytime that we get in a fight against the darkness, what's our number one thing we ought to do? Go to prayer. When it gets too hot for you, go see somebody else who knows how to pray. That's what David did. It got too hot for him in the king's house. I can't stand it no more. They're going to kill me. I don't have a chance to live. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go to Nod, and I'm going to hang out with the pastor for a while. We're going to pray. We're going to prophesy. We're going to read the Bible together. When it got too hot for him there, he goes to the next place. God had already provided food for him, and he'd already provided a sword for him. Then when it got too hot there, he goes to another place. And he first goes to try to find peace in the enemy's house. Finds out that there's no peace in the enemy, has to act like a crazy man and escape. He escapes from the king of Gath and heads to another place. When he gets to the other place, the priest that had survived all of the killings from Saul comes to him and says, I got a safe place, go with me. And now David is seeing that the Philistines are coming against the people of Israel again. First thing that David does is he goes to the Lord in prayer. He inquires of the Lord, God, I know I'm a man of war. I know what I can do. Should I do what you've anointed me to? Now, he was anointed to do all these things, but first he goes to God in prayer. How's your prayer life? When things are coming against you, how are you praying? Are you seeking the Lord with the fullness of your life? And so he goes to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord says to him, go and smite the Philistines and save Kelech. And David's men said unto him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah, much more than if we come to Kelech and against the armies of the Philistines. And David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise and go down to Kelech, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands. And so David and his men went to Kelech, and they fought the Philistines. They brought away their cattle, and he smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Kelech. And it came to pass, when Abathar, the son of Amalek, fled to David to Kelech, that he came down with an ephod in his hand, the prayer robes in his hand. And it was told to Saul that David was come to Kelech, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called the people to gather to war and to go down to Kelech and to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul had secretly practiced. Thank you, Lord. Cliff, you're not God, but thank you for that word. I was praying that someone would say the word because it wasn't coming out of my mouth. And so I thank God because Cliff answered that prayer. And he practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. And then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Kittith to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Kittith deliver me into his hands? Will Saul come down as the servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, now catch what David did. He said, bring me the instruments of prayer. All right, listen, high priest, I need the ephod. I know you got one. Bring me the instruments of prayer. Equip me to be able to go into the house of God, that I could inquire of him. That's what Jesus did for us. When he died on the cross and he tore the veil, now we don't need an ephod. We don't need the special prayer robes to know how God's going to speak through colored stones. We have the written word of God, amen? And so as the enemy comes against us, and it may seem like you're in a walled city with bars and gates around you, and it might seem like the people that you're surrounded with very well might turn you over to be destroyed. Do like David did. Go to the Lord. Go to the instruments of prayer. Go to where you know you can hear from God. For us in the New Testament church, we go to the Bible. We don't need an ephod. We got the Bible. And we have certain promises. Jesus, as we talked about this morning, the way, the truth, and the life, right? If you love me, obey my commandments. Isn't that what he said over and over again? Next week, we're going to go over the vine and the branches, you know? If you love me, keep my commandments. We're going to find that over and over and over in the New Testament. If you really want to be delivered from your enemies, love God. Amen. Obey his commandments. Love God. Walk upright and righteously with God all the days of your life. And just see what God will do for you. You know, if you do what God has told you to, God will deliver you out of the hand of the adversary. And so we're going to see this play out in David's life over and over again. And so he had called for the ephod. He had called and done the things that he was supposed to do. And he asked, he inquired of the Lord. And then the men of deliver in the hands of Saul. And verse 11, will the men of Kalah deliver me into his hand, Saul's hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Kedesh deliver me into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. Your worst dream is going to happen, son. Isn't that great? God didn't lie to him. Didn't say, oh, don't worry about it. It's all nothing but unicorns and rainbows from here, son. You trust me. You ain't got to worry about nothing. No, God said they're going to deliver you down. Don't worry about it. This is what's going to happen. And then David said to his men, which were about 600, rose up, and they departed out of Keilah. Wherever they could go. And it was told to Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness and in the strongholds, and he remained in the mountains of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him out of his hand. I tell you, sometimes it's just time to run. Amen? It wasn't time to fight, it's just time to run, time to head to the hills. And so he headed to the hills, and he camped out in the woods. And so Saul came every single day trying to find him. Now, don't think of Saul, singular, walking out in the woods saying, David, David, where art thou, David? No, there was a hunting squad. There were war parties. There were trained trackers out hunting David's hide. No matter where you go, son, I'm going to find you. When I find you, I'm going to get you. But God was with David. And so David was able to elude them. He was able to hide from them and keep away from the enemy. And so in verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, and he went to David into the wood, and he strengthened his hand in God. I tell you, when you have a good friend, they know where to find you, where you're at, and they know how to strengthen your hands. So Jonathan found David in the woods. Saul couldn't find him forever, all right? Jonathan walked out and said, hey, Dave, where you at? Dave said, here I am, right behind this tree. Your dad's been hunting for me all day. I've been sitting on this stump right here. He hasn't been able to see me. You're my friend, Jonathan. Praise God. It's good to see you. Let's break bread together. And they strengthen each other. I tell you, when you got a friend that knows God, you got a friend. You know? And so Jonathan was just that way with David, and David was that way with him. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, for thou shalt be a king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, that also Saul my father knoweth it." And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. And it came, and then came up the Ziphimites to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Doeth not Saul hide himself in the strongholds and in the woods and the hills of Hikathlakakna, and is on the south side of this other place? Now therefore, king, come down according to all that thy desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Bless you, bless your heart." Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me." So, I tell you what, they're fighting against God, but the king says, "Bless your heart, you know, bless your heart. You're fighting against God. I'm so glad that y'all fear me more than you fear God." There's a lot of pastors out there that are like that. "I want you to follow me and don't worry about what the Word of God says." No, when God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Those guys, we're going to find out, as they try to find David, they can't lay a hand on that boy because God's with him. He's honoring the Lord. He's praying. He's seeking the Lord. He's going to be the king, the leader of Israel. He's going to be the leader of Israel. There's nothing that they can do to him, to harm him, to do anything. In verse 23, "See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again unto me with a certainty, and I will go with you." In other words, find him out. When y'all find him, let me know, is what the king said. And they arose and they went, and they did what Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Mannom, in the plain of south, whatever that is, Jeshimon. And Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David wherefore he came down to the rock and abode in the wilderness of Moab. I'm having trouble with those words still, Moan. And Saul went and heard that, and he pursued after David in the wilderness of Moan. 26. And when Saul went down on his side, went on this side of the mountain, David and his men on that side of the mountain, and David haste to get away for the fear of Saul. And Saul's men compassed David and his men round about, and they take him. And there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee, come, the Philistines have invaded the land." And Saul returned. So Saul thought they had him cornered. All right, Saul was on one side of the mountain, David was on the other side of the mountain. What did God do? He said, "I'm going to send in the Philistines. I'm going to send in the Philistines, and they're going to pull you out of the war." And so Saul had to leave. He had to go defend his land. So you see God's hand in the midst of all this. All you got to do is what David did. Be a man, be a person after God's own heart. You got to seek him with the fullness of your life. And when you seek him with the fullness of your life, God protects you wherever you go. Now, was it pleasant in the wilderness? I don't know if you've ever lived in the wilderness. It's not a fun place to hang out. No running water. You know, you got to hunt. And I mean, when I was running from God, I had to live in an old van. Amen. In the middle of the woods. Had to set snares to catch squirrel. All right. And so I'd catch squirrel and I'd clean them, eat them that night. Raw potatoes and stale bread. Now, I lived off of that for months. You know, but I was running from God at the time. But still, God took care of me. Was that easy? Absolutely not. When you got to bathe in a dirty creek, amen, take a stick and beat the rattlesnakes and the moccasins out of the water before you feel safe to get a bath, things ain't good. But you're in the wilderness. You're with God. Amen. And so the Lord took care of me there. The Lord took care of David. It wasn't a comfortable place. He wasn't sitting in air conditioning watching cable TV, you know. He didn't have a satellite telling him where Saul was. God was taking care of him. Every time Saul would pop up his head and they'd think that they have David cornered, God would make a way out. Where there appears to be no way, there's God. Amen. And if you don't know how to get to him, go to your pastor's house. Grab a hold of a friend that knows Jesus. Get together and pray. Seek the Lord. And watch God deliver you out of one trial to the next trial. I like that. He delivers you from one trial to the next one. It don't get easier, folks. It just gets better. Amen. But there will be the day of deliverance. You know, you look at Joseph's life, right? His Jacob's son, 11th son, favorite of his father. His brothers, he came and told them about a dream. They hated him for it. He came looking for him over in Dothan. They dropped him in a pit, sold him off to some Ishmaelites. He was a prisoner of the Ishmaelites. Then he was a slave to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife said, "Hey, you're going to be my sex slave." He said, "No, I'm not. I'm getting out of here." Yeah, she took his robe off of him, grabbed his little loincloth or whatever. He run out the house naked. She said, "He raped me." He ended up in jail. The deepest part of the jail was in the Pharaoh's prison. And then he was there for enough years. Then God raised him up out of that. He became the second in Israel, or the second in Egypt. And he saved all the people of Israel because of that. But look at the years that he spent in not understanding. Look at the years he spent as a slave. But he was faithful. Look at the years that David's going to spend in the wilderness. But he is faithful. The Bible, even after he's anointed king, right? The king of Israel, because that happened a couple chapters ago through Samuel. Samuel goes to Jesse's house. And he says, "Show me your sons." They walk before 8 sons. None of them are it. And then 7 sons. And then David is the 8th son, the one still out in the field. Comes and finds out that he's the king, anoints him that day. That's before he ever fights with Goliath. That's before Saul ever knows who he is. That's before he even knows how to get into the king's house and play his fancy guitar. That's before any of that stuff ever happens. God always was preparing his heart to be his servant. God is preparing your heart to be his servant today. You might be, in fact, not might be, you're going through some stuff right now. Trust God today for the fruit tomorrow. Amen. Lean into Jesus today because this too shall pass. Amen. This ain't the end of the story. This is paragraph number 2. All right? And I'll just bring you from that one to this one, from one trial to the next. And in those trials, you're going to find out how faithful I am. Look at how faithful God was to David. Before he even knew that he was going to be on the run from Saul, God prepared showbread for him, and he also prepared a spear and a sword for him. Had it wrapped up in a cloth behind the ephod. God knew that he was going to need a priest in the wilderness when he was running away from Saul. So God spared one of the sons of Amalek that he would come and be David's buddy. God knew that David was going to have an ear on the inside. So he made Jonathan and David become the tightest of friends, that he would know the things that are going on. God knows where you're at. When David was hiding in the wilderness, God knew what tree he was hiding behind so that Jonathan could find him on that day. Do you see God's hand in all this stuff? Your trial that you're living in today, look for God's hand. He's there. He says, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Amen? That's a promise from God. As you go from trial to trial, God is preparing your heart for the next thing that's coming. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen? He loves you and he wants you to know him. And so I didn't quite get to chapter 25. We got to chapter 24. And by the grace of God, we're going to try to blow through 3 or 4 of these chapters at a time because it's just the way the story rolls. I challenge you to go home and read these stories, for these accounts. They're not stories. Wendy's not here. I give her kudos for that word, account. Amen? Because these are the accounts of David. It's not the stories. You need a story. Goldilocks and the Three Bears. That's a pretty cool story. Amen. Pinocchio's. That's a good story. All right. These are accounts. These are factual accounts. And think of them like that. They're not the story of David. It's the account of David. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I pray that this has spoken to you in some way tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. I thank you for your word, Lord God. I thank you for your holiness. I thank you, Father, that you have met us in the middle of our need, that you have answered our plea for you. And I just ask even now that you would help us to seek you. Father, help us to know you. Help us to trust you in the darkest hour. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace. And we just worship you because you're worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for all those things and so many more. In Jesus' marvelous name, amen and amen.